Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. Today, we'll be exploring a single poem, Nocturne Thyr, by Jose Asuncion Silva.
One poem, huh?
Yeah, just one. But it's a powerful one. The imagery, the language, just so evocative, really pulls you in. So by the end of this, hopefully, you'll have a whole new understanding of this poem and what Silva's trying to do with it.
Sounds good to me.
So right off the bat, even the title, Nocturne Thyr, I mean, it feels like a musical cue. Almost.
Yeah, definitely.
It sets this certain mood.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nocturne.
It's nighttime. You're thinking reflection, maybe even a little bit of mystery.
And three.
Oh, yeah, that three. Like, there's more out there.
Like, it's part of a larger thing.
Exactly. It makes you wonder.
Makes you want to go listen to those other two.
Totally. All right, so moving into the poem itself, those opening lines. One night when fireflies burned like phantoms in the humid bridal darkness.
Wow.
Just wow. I mean, the imagery, right? It's like you're right there with him.
You can practically feel the humidity, can't you?
Yeah, it's sticky, it's heavy. But that description of the fireflies, like phantoms, it's fascinating. Fireflies, normally you think of them as bringing light,
right?
But here they're these sort of ghostly figures.
Almost unsettling in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Like even in this beautiful setting, there's this underlying unease, like something's not quite right.
Like foreshadowing almost.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then we have this person walking alongside the speaker. Remember that humid bridal darkness? Well, this person is wholly silent and pale. And inside them, there's this endless sorrow.
Heavy stuff.
It really is. I mean, what does this tell you about the speaker's relationship with this person?
Well, clearly there's this deep connection.
Yeah.
But those words, holy, silent, pale, they almost make the person seem distant, you know?
Unreachable.
Yeah. And then endless sorrow, it just adds to the sense of loss. Like maybe this person isn't even really there anymore. Like it's a memory of them.
And then there's the line that Silva repeats twice. They were one single endless shadow. The repetition really emphasizes it.
Definitely.
So we've got these shadows.
Right.
In the moonlight. What do you make of the shadows in this context, especially given all this talk of sorrow?
Well, you can't have light without shadow.
True.
And in this poem, it almost feels like their sorrow is taking shape as the shadow merging with it, you know?
Like becoming one with their grief.
Exactly. It's this tangible thing, even though it's made of darkness.
And shadows are interesting, too. I mean, think about symbolism.
Oh, yeah.
Like during Silva's time, the symbolist movement, shadows were big.
All right.
Evoking emotions that are hard to put into words.
Hmm.
So maybe that's what's happening here, too.
Definitely could be. The shadow isn't just a literal shadow.
Right.
It represents something more, something deeper, you know?
I like that. But then, here's what really gets me. We've got all this sadness, right? But the setting is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, you're right.
Flowering plain, full moon, blue heavens.
Hmm.
It's almost like Silva's playing with us, contrasting these opposite feelings.
Absolutely. I mean, it's classic romanticism. Nature reflecting the speaker's emotions. And don't forget the colors, especially white.
Oh, yeah.
Moonlight, snow white chamber, that pale glow. It all adds to this feeling.
White. You usually associate it with purity, innocence.
But here.
Yeah, here it feels cold, distant.
Like it's echoing the loss.
Like the beauty just makes the sadness even more intense.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we get to the ending. It walked alone through the desolate plain, the speaker's shadow, all alone.
Powerful imagery.
So powerful. What do you think? What's Silva saying here?
Well, it could be a couple of things, right? On the one hand, it highlights how isolating grief can be.
Like even surrounded by all this beauty.
Yeah, there's still that lingering sorrow. It just won't let go.
And the shadow walking alone. It's like the person is gone, but their memory, their impact remains.
It's a permanent mark.
Right. But, you know, there's another way to look at it, too. Maybe that solitary shadow represents something within the speaker.
Their own darkness.
Yeah. Something they can't escape, even when they're with other people.
Interesting.
So we've got sorrow, loss, isolation, beauty clashing with sadness. Silva packs so much into Nocturne the Third. Really makes you think, huh?
It really does. And I think that's what's so great about poems like this.
Yeah.
They make you reflect on these human experiences we all go through.
Loss. Grief.
Exactly.
So hopefully this deep dive has given you some food for thought.
Definitely.
We encourage you to go read Nocturne the Third on your own. Really take it in. Let the imagery wash over you. What does it make you feel? What's the shadow to you? And does it remind you of any other art or music dealing with these same themes?
Great questions to ponder.
And that brings us to the end of this deep dive. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time.